love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall
let me invite you over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 27, verse 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 27, verse 1. Verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of your mercy, your grace, and your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might be glorified and that we would hear from you and that we would be able to be able to say it's been good to be in your house. Bless your word, Lord. That you might be again, Lord, glorified and our lives drawn closer to you. And we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off with just defining a little bit what faith is. I think a lot of people have this idea that faith is some kind of a magical thing that God gives them. And it's really nothing at all like that. Faith, well, let's look at it. Some people put faith in their own abilities. To protect themselves. Some people put faith in the stock market. That'll give you indigestion or something. That's always going up and down. Some people put faith in many different things. But when we say we put faith in the Word of God, in spite of how we feel or what we're thinking, we are walking by the rule of God. Case in point, remember Peter, when there was a boisterous sea and the Lord was walking on the water. And did Jesus say, come walk out on the water? Well, he did, but Peter said something first, didn't he? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. What was Peter saying? I want to walk on the water. Now, wait a minute. Let's give Peter some credit. Did Peter even fathom or even consider or entertain the idea that he could walk on the water without the Lord? No, if he did, he'd have already done it. But he didn't. He stopped and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And guess what happened? The Lord said, come. And I don't think he could have gotten out of the boat fast enough. I think he was excited that the Lord answered his request, and he started to walk on the water. But remember, there was a tempestuous storm that was taking place, And we all know what he did, why he began to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to sink. Every time you and I take our eyes off of the faith, that where our faith is founded upon, the Word of God, you and I also will sink. We'll sink. We'll begin to doubt. In fact, listen, the world and the devil and the flesh tries to get us not to look to the Word of God. In fact, listen, the world, the devil, and the flesh will wants us to look at something specifically. Do you know what it is? Ourselves. You remember what Satan? Satan didn't say, worship me. He said, you be God. He told Eve, you be God. And so in doing that, he achieved his goal. That was to get his eye or Eve's eyes off of the Lord. God's goal is to draw our hearts close to him. The devil, the world, and the flesh is trying to get us to look away from the Lord. And by the way, again, our faith, if it's in the Lord, let me say that again. Our faith, if it's in the Lord, has to be in here, in the Word of God. Don't call yourself a Christian or a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and reject the Word of God, because we're nothing like Christ when we do that at all. In fact, the only thing that we have that God has given to us that is all sufficient is his Word. So we're putting faith, we're putting our faith in God's Word. And the wonderful thing is that God's Word is unmovable. And it's founded in eternity past and will exist throughout all eternity. Throughout all eternity. Fathom that thought. All eternity. That's mind-boggling to me that there is an all eternity. Isn't that amazing? Because we're created beings, but yet there's going to be an existence that will never end. And here's the truth. Everybody who's alive or has lived has entered into that. Those that have gone on before us are in eternity now. The destination is all dependent upon whether or not they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior or not. And that's the truth. The world, the philosophers, those who reject the Lord maybe have a different opinion, but they have no fact. But they have no fact. Now, the title this morning is The Problem with Believing Your Heart. The Problem with Believing Your Heart. You ever hear people say, I know what I believe in my heart. As that makes it, oh, end of discussion. I know what I believe in my heart. Oh, that makes it all right. Because they believe it in their heart. They believe it in their heart. There are people that are doing things that are moved by their heart that are against God. There are people that are doing things that are being led and guided by their hearts, and they are wrong before God. Let me remind you of something. Jeremiah 17:10 says this, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord," not in themselves, not in what society is saying, not in what's popular, but they trust in the Lord. The word trust and the word faith is interchangeable here. So our faith and our trust is in the Lord, not in man. Not in man. Listen, I can tell you, I can feel one way one day, and I can feel a different way the next day. Has that ever happened to you? One day you can be up. The next day you can be down. Do you know God knows us? And that's why he says, don't look to your ups and your downs. Look to the Word that never, never moves. So he says, blessed. The word blessed there is happy. Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So if you're here this morning, are you trusting in the Lord? Well, God says you're blessed then because you're unmovable. And then you won't go crazy. You won't go crazy. You won't. You know what people that are in the world have already said, oh, he triggered me just now. He just offended me.
I didn't. The Word of God said, blessed is the man. Does that not include women? Absolutely it does. But see, we stumble over the grains of sand, over the gnats, and we miss out what God is saying. Because what God is saying is the truth forevermore in spite of what the world is saying. Listen, the Bible says, the Word of God says, everybody is going to face God one day. Everybody's going to stand before Him and they're going to discover something. First of all, that He is Lord. And that He is God. And that He is the Savior. And if we'll believe in Him on this side, we'll be set free. To enjoy it, not just on this side, but forevermore. I don't get upset with people that are hung up over these ideas, these pronouns, and all this nonsense that somebody dreamed up, that the devil put in the minds of fallen man to major on the minors and miss out what's really important, as our nation is in upheaval, and we think it's an administration, when the real problem with our society is our relationship with God. That's where it's at. And until our relationship with God is made right, it doesn't matter what we do. Or who the administration is. It doesn't matter. It will never be right until we're right with God. And we'll get hung up over some things and we'll destroy ourselves. And we are on the path of destroying ourselves. And people are buying into the lies. They're buying into it. And they're going to focus on the wrong things. And in the process of doing that, they're going to miss out on who God is. So the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You want to hear something really crazy? When I was in the fifth grade, I had, and maybe you might remember this, I had a social studies class in the fifth grade. You want to hear the craziest title that they gave that class? Man, we're going to study man. Because back then they acknowledged that mankind was both male and female. And we studied the Inuit people, the Eskimos. And I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. I couldn't believe people could live in that kind of weather and eat that kind of food. I couldn't believe it. But I got to enjoy it and see it for the first time. And I tell you what, never more praised God and thanked the Lord for making me live in America. Amen? I thought I could eat pizza a lot better than I could seal blubber and whatever else they were eating. All right, so here it is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots. Her roots, if that makes us feel better. Her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's a good thing. If our heart is trusting in the Lord and not in ourselves, we'll be able to focus right. But now here's what the Lord says here. In Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart. So he says, blessed is the man that trusts not in his heart, but in the Lord. But now he's going to deal with the heart. Remember those people that say, well, I know what I believe in my heart. Well, God says the heart is deceitful. Doesn't stop there. Above all things. So you think of the most deceptive thing. A con artist, the most deceptive thing, and know this, our heart is more deceitful. Our heart is more deceitful. Has your heart ever told you something that was dead wrong? More than once? Why would we ever give it any credit? If it did it before, can it not do it again? The heart is deceitful above all things, and the Bible says, and desperately wicked. And then he says this, who can know it? Who? I know my heart. Ever hear somebody say that? I know my heart. I know my. When people say, I know my heart, guess what? They don't know their heart. God just said, who can know it? You just think you know it. I know my heart. I know my heart. Now see, we've already been set free just with that. We cause ourselves problems every time we trust our heart. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God's look at the grace of God. There are people that are being blessed when God is searching the hearts. He's trying the reins, and he's giving every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So if you're trusting your heart, it's going to lead you astray, and God's going to allow you to reap the fruit of that. That's what you want. That's what you get. If you want to trust me, I'm going to give you understanding and wisdom and stability and fulfillment and contentment. I'm going to give you those things and peace and joy that the world doesn't know anything about. God is wanting to give us things that you and I cannot get for ourselves. And the world can't give it to you, and the devil certainly will not do it. So as we consider this morning, I want you to notice, and we may not get through all of them, but I want you to see four problems that come with believing our own heart. The first one is, we can't have two masters. That's the first problem. The second one is, we won't seek God for direction if we're trusting our own heart. We won't seek God. The third problem is, we will work to justify ourselves. We will. People that trust their heart will make it work out, you know, to trust themselves. And then we will find ourselves, the last one, we will find ourselves fighting against God and his people. So we can't have two masters. So here's David. And if you don't understand the backdrop of what's taken place in his life, Saul was pursuing his life. He was wanting to kill David. And so what happened was, God delivered Saul twice into the hand of David. And he was delivered. But I will just tell you this. I'm going to understand David, and I want us to understand David. I'm not excusing David. He did wrong here. But I want you to understand something. He was tired. He was fighting a battle. That's not an excuse. That is just you and I understanding. Now, the best thing that could be done is, regardless how we feel, because we don't want to go by our feelings. That's even worse. That's even a worse thing to do, because our feelings, my goodness, can change all the time. So David now was tired, and he was going on his feelings and in his heart. So the Bible says here in verse 1, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Where was God in the picture? He's out. He's not even there. Because God twice delivered him where he was able to walk in. Listen, he's got all of his mighty men. Saul, King Saul, has all of his mighty men there in a cave, and he comes up to him, and they're all sitting there sleeping. I would dare say, out of all the soldiers, out of the hundreds of soldiers that Saul had, one of them should have been a light sleeper. And they were making, you know, they were tiptoeing in there, and they were able to go ahead and get Saul's spear and take a piece of his apparel that he was wearing there and walk out of there. You just can't do that, all right? You just can't do that. And so they had to know God delivered him. Now, his friend that was with him said, okay, there he is. You don't have to do it. I'll do it. Just one time with the spear, and he'll be done. And he says, oh, no. He did right. I will not put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, even though he's after him. That's an important truth. At that particular point, David's faith was in his God. He said, I don't know what God's plan is for him, but it's definitely not right for me to take his life. Now, the world would have told you, oh, listen, he's got it coming. Right? You ever have somebody give you advice like that? They've got it coming. Oh, no. No. Jesus said, you ought to love your enemies and do good to those that despitefully use you. See, right there, I could already tell you, we're guilty of not being faithful or trusting the Lord. Because I would say everybody here has given somebody what for somewhere. And maybe even bragged about it. Well, let me tell you, They just thought they were going to do. Well, I tell you what I did. Well, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. Because it does not glorify the Lord. In fact, what we should have done is shown mercy and grace. The grace of God in us. Because let me just tell you what we deserve before our God. And it's not mercy, but he's graciously given it to you and I. And so here's this situation where David has really come to the place where he's decided not to follow the Lord, but his own heart. He says, now because of that, I'm going to one day perish. Listen, as a young boy becoming a man, God, through the prophet Samuel, anointed him to be the next king. If God says you're going to be the king, are you going to be the king? If God says you're going to be the king, are you going to be the king? Right? So it doesn't matter what happens. Now, that's real faith. We may not always feel like that, but that's real faith. David could have said, I'm not faulting David. I'm going to tell you, I understand the human part of it. We all do. He was tired. But he could have said, I don't want to. We've all been tired. I'm not going to choose to believe how I feel, because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to live by faith. Okay, that's three of us. Let's try again. We're to live by
faith.
All right. So if we live by faith, we're not living by our feelings. Or we should not be living by our feelings. Let's at least be honest and say, when we do live by our feelings, we are not living by faith. I don't feel like it. Tell me we've not said that maybe more than once. All right, so let's look at David. I'm tired. I don't feel like looking to the Word of God. But God said, you're going to be the next king. And we've already decided that if God said it, it's going to happen. God told you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. So in spite of how you feel, you are in God's hands. We don't always feel that way. So he makes this little counsel with his heart. There's nothing better for me, really? Did you hear the lie? Nothing better for me, really? Nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape. No time for prayer, no time to ask God. When we do things in haste, is it not usually a problem? Today, right now, at this moment, this is the deal. Please. Please. This is, you tell me really. I got to get it because the sale is going to be over. I got to get it because the guy won't give me the same deal tomorrow. Why? What is there other than pressure for that person or that company not to give you the same deal all day, every day of the year? They just want you to hurry up. They want to make a sale real. Let's go. And don't, you don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever bought something and had remorse? Be careful what you're buying. And be careful of doing things in haste. In fact, the Bible says it's not wise. So there's I got to speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, my enemy. I got to go over with them. I got to go hang out. It's better for me not to hang out with God and his people. It's better for me that I should go out to the enemy. I should befriend the world. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Now, technically, because we're dealing with Saul, he was right. But Saul was not a spiritual giant himself. He was running from God himself. And he was doing the wrong thing. So we can't have, Jesus said, you can't have two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. And listen, he was talking to believers. You, by the way, you can't be your own master and love God either. Can't. And that's who David was counseling with. So, and David arose, and he arose speedily. And so, verse 2, and David arose and passed over with 600 men that were with him. By the way, we do influence other people. Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. King of Gath, does that strike a bell? Wasn't there a Philistine that was from there? Goliath, was that his name, of Gath? Did something slip? Did he forget something here? Remember, he was the one that all Israel was shaken over. And who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? I'll stand. Now he's running to him. There's a lot of people that used to say, hey, look, I believe the word of God. And if the word of God says it's wrong, by golly, that's the truth. Well, maybe it really doesn't mean that anymore. Maybe that's not wrong anymore. Maybe it's okay. We have a generation today that doesn't even blush at sin. Do you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, mostly in the 70s, when I was really, you know, and a little bit, you know, in the 80s, in my teens. And there were some things on TV back then, forget about it now, that I would not, as a kid who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not want to be in the same room as my parents and watch that. Back then, my goodness, what are we exposed to now? And the next generation laughs at it now, jokes about it. They videotape themselves. Videotape themselves doing horrendous things. Murdering. They videotape themselves killing people. In our country. But that's not real. There's no problem with that, is there? And then we wonder why our society is closed to the truth, because they've been so exposed and corrupted and bombarded by the lie, they couldn't tell you what the truth is. But they're going to tell us what to do. And they're going to tell us they know what their heart tells them, and they know how they feel. Where's God in that picture? And then we wonder why our society is going where it's at. And so he arises and he goes over with 600 of his men, verse 3, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath. And his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. Oh, he was right, wasn't he? He was right. That was a good thing for him to do, because he was right. No, it wasn't. Because it was wrong before God. You would be amazed how many people say, oh, look, it worked. It worked. It's okay. Nothing happened to him. That's what people are doing today. It won't kill you. It's all right. Hey, it worked. You're right. And so they go off and they delve into things that one day destroy them. Oops. Guess it wasn't so great. Guess it wasn't the best thing to do. How many people have been killed because they thought it wouldn't hurt them? It's okay. Everybody's doing it. And then they die because everybody was doing it. I've got news for you. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And that highway is full. But the highway that heads towards life is narrow. And there's not a lot of people traveling on it. So if we bought into the lie, and that's what it is, of everybody's doing it, we are on the wrong road. Not the right road, the wrong road. Everybody says it's okay. Wrong road if it's not in the Word of God. So what happens here? What's the problem with believing our heart? You can't have two masters. And then secondly, you won't seek God for direction. Look at verse 5. And David said to Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, he's looking for grace in the wrong place, Let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. Dwell there. Get that. That's his new home. He's going to make a home there. Dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And then he's trying to be honorable in rebellion with the Lord. Then Achish gave him Ziklag. The devil will give you what you're asking for. Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Listen, God was clear to let us know. A year and 4 months, and David is not talking with God. There's no communication there. I promise you, you want to lose your prayer life? Start looking to your heart. You want to lose your prayer life and your walk with the Lord and the influence of God in your life? Start going by how you feel. Start looking to what everybody else is doing. That's the quickest, fastest way to walk in the opposite direction of God. Not towards Him, away from Him. Not trying to cut Him off at the pass. You're going away. Jonah, ring a bell? That's the direction, amen? When we lean to our own understanding, our feelings, or our heart. All right. And then we look to justify ourselves. Look at verse 8. And David and his men went in and invaded the Girgashites and the Gizrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerimelites, and against the south of the Kenites. That's not where he was at. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath. What's he doing? He's not being honest, is he? Saying, lest they should tell on us, we'll just kill them. Saying, so did David, and so will his manner be all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. Hey, when you go in the way of the enemy, don't be shocked if you start adopting the ways of the enemy. Don't be shocked. He wasn't being honest. He was lying. He was looking out for himself. And he was trying to make himself look good. And he was justifying it in his own mind. No problem. And then lastly, we find ourselves fighting against God when we start believing in our own heart or how we feel. Look at verse 1 of chapter 28. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with who? That's the people of God. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. David's going to fight his own people, going to fight the people of God. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee a keeper of mine head forever. He says, you're going to be my guard. You're going to be my personal guard forever. Did you get that? David was going to be the protector of the king of the enemy forever. Do you know what we're not hearing? David. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. I'm a child of God. Where's that? Where is that? Nothing. No problem. And what happens here? Well, the grace of God. And I will tell you, I think the grace of God had been with the Lord, or the Lord had been with David trying to speak to his heart, but we can drown out his voice because it's a still small voice. Look at verse 1 of chapter 29. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men passed on in the rear ward with who? Who's he with? Is that God's king? Is he with the people of God? He was getting ready to go to war against Israel, against God's people. Now, I want to remind you of something. David was a man after God's own what? Let's try that again. David was a man after God's own? If it could happen to David, can it happen to us? Oh, might we walk very carefully. And might we examine our hearts to see where we're at in accordance to the Word of God. How often should we consider examining our hearts? Once a year? Once a month? Paul said he found this out. He had to crucify his flesh. He had to say, "You're not going to tell me what to do." How often did he do that? Daily. Daily. Do you know what daily means? It means daily, doesn't it? And it means throughout the day. So the problem with believing our heart will lead us astray 100% of the time. God's not honored by our heart. He's not. Unless it is in agreement with His Word. And then it honors Him. If our hearts are right with God, then we will look to the Word of God for guidance. Not ourselves, not the world. We influence. He had 600 men that followed after Him. We influence our families and friends more than we realize. And God is wanting us to walk with Him. And in doing so, there's a peace that God gives us. And there's a fruit that's born. There's a fruit that God bears in your life. You don't try to do it. Listen, and I'll close with this thought. Let's say a mother. I think probably one of the most patient people, and the men will agree with me here in just a moment, is a mom. Is a mom. Because when kids are infants and they're crying, all right, so you have one child crying. But what if they were twins? How far will your patience go? I'll just be honest with you, with a crying baby, just one at a time for me. All right, just one at a time. Twins would have done me in. The Lord knew that. That's why we didn't have any. All right. But some moms and dads have patience for twins, right? How many patients do you have for when it comes to babies? How about triplets? Wait, let me ask you this. How much patience can God handle the patience of three triplets? Yeah. How much patience do you have? What is the record now? Is it nine? Eight? Nine babies at one time? I'd had to check in somewhere. If that was me. Eight babies at one time. I hope they're all happy babies. But what is our limit? We have a limit, don't we? I mean, 15 babies at one time, I would probably be over a lot of moms' limit. Now, I'm telling you that to tell you this, God has no limit. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because we think that we have to have patience and we're doing it in our own strength. No, that's a limited patience. We're trying to be kind in our own strength. No, that's a limited kindness. That's a limited kindness. God is infinite. So this is how we know when we're walking in the fruit of God's Spirit, the kindness and the gentleness, there's no effort. It's flowing. Because God is producing it. If we're producing it, it's limited. It's limited. You're not going to make it. There is a breaking point to your kindness, my kindness, our gentleness, there's a limit. But God is infinite. And God wants us to enjoy that. Listen, that's where the world looks at our lives and says, that's not natural. And we can say, yes, that is supernatural. It's not mine, it's God. See, we have the wrong concept. When we start thinking we need to manufacture and do things for God, oh, whose heart are we looking at? Whose feelings are we leaning upon? Our own. But God says, take my yoke upon you. God says, let me do the work in you. You'll never find in the Word of God, God wanting you to do the work. God wanting me to do the work. And when we come to that conclusion, we're looking to our heart. It's what our heart's telling us. It's our thinking. And then we'll be running. We won't be standing for God. We'll be running. Do you believe this? God, listen, is not willing that any should perish. Do you believe that? But he wants all to come to repentance. What is God's plan? Who is the vessel God wants to use to bring others to him? It's us. It's us. And the way that God does that is he wants to fill our lives with himself. Not just to the top, but to overflowing that the world might see. Not that we don't verbally tell them about the Lord, but we need to be a credible witness of the grace of God in our lives, or we have nothing to give. Let me just say that again. We need to be a credible witness of the grace of God, not manufactured by us, but by God, in and through our lives that the world might see. I'm not just hearing what you're saying, I'm seeing it. And it begins with salvation and a walk with the Lord. We need it. God wants to bless us with it. And that's what will change Columbia, Missouri, and the state of Missouri, and our country. The hope is in God, not in man. Beginning with ourselves. Salvation begins with the finished work of Christ and goes from there. And God wants that work taking place in your life and mine. Is that happening? Or is the Holy Spirit maybe saying, you're not looking to me anymore. It's been a while. It's been a while. And God says, come back. With all love, God's no strings. Come back. I'm merciful. I'll forgive you. Come and walk. Let me live through you. And if you're here and don't know the Lord, he says, come and trust me. And I'll show you some things about what life is really all about, beginning with a relationship with the Lord and experiencing the free pardon of sin for not just some or most, but all of our sins. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder, your word, your direction, your wisdom, Lord, that sets us free. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst that does not know you as Savior, that you would reveal that to them and that they would trust you even today. And then, Lord, if we've been looking to ourselves or what we're thinking or how we're feeling concerning our relationship with you, Lord, we need revival. Speak to our hearts. Call us, Lord, and empower our lives for your glory, that we might experience your grace and power and that the world might see your witness. Bless the invitation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.